Lawmakers in California are on the verge of passing a bill that would pay college athletes for the use of their name, image, and likeness. Their state assembly passed the Fair Pay to Play Act on Monday by a vote of 72-0. The state Senate passed their version in the spring. Now the two chambers will have to resolve differences before it goes to Governor Gavin Newsom. In a tweet, Los Angeles Lakers star LeBron James called the move a game changer and added, quote, college athletes can responsibly get paid for what they do and the billions they create. A day later, U.S. Senator and Democratic presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders tweeted, college athletes are workers, pay them. But some NCAA officials are opposed to paying student athletes because they say it would give California schools an unfair recruiting advantage. Matt Mitten is a professor of law and executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University Law School. Matt, good to have you back on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure, Rob.
Let's talk specifically about what they're doing. There have been a lot of different ideas out there about how to pay college athletes or how to allow them to get paid. This is one very specific plan, right?
Yeah. It's basically the objective would be that college athletes in California would be entitled to enter into endorsement deals with car dealerships, local supermarkets, whomever, and basically obtain, a licensing fee equal to the fair market value of what's known as their name, image, likeness rights, or publicity rights. That's something that would be currently prohibited by the NCAA's amateurism rules.
But this wouldn't be a thing where they get a paycheck from the University of California, Berkeley, say. They wouldn't get a weekly or hourly wage for their job.
No, that's correct. It would be from third parties, like Vaughn Supermarket out there or Jones Car Dealership, for example.
This would be in violation, in effect, of NCAA rules. So colleges in California, if this passed as planned, it would come into effect in a few years, they would have to decide whether to follow California state law or NCAA guidelines. This is all hypothetical at this point, but how could a school try to resolve that difference?
Well, the California universities would be in a very difficult position. As you point out, California law would prohibit them from doing anything that would prevent student athletes, like let's say the quarterback for the football team or, the point guard of the basketball team, from entering into this arrangement. The problem is that by contract, as a member of the NCAA, they have agreed that only student athletes who are in compliance with the NCAA's eligibility rules can participate. So that's why the NCAA is saying California, if this passes in California schools, they're precluded from state law from prohibiting this from happening, student athletes from entering into these agreements. If they allow them to participate in games, then the NCAA is saying, hey, we're going to enforce our eligibility rules, and these teams would not be eligible to participate in our championship competitions.
I want to give a little listen to Tim Tebow, former NFL quarterback. We heard LeBron James, his tweet in favor of this idea. Tim Tebow speaking on ESPN First Take this morning, not a fan of what California is working toward here. Here's a listen.
When I was at the University of Florida, I think my jersey was one of the top-selling jerseys around the world. It was like Kobe, LeBron, and then I was right behind them, and I didn't make a dollar from it. But nor did I want to, because I knew going into college what it was all about.
So not everybody on board with the idea. What are some of the objections, Matt, to college athletes getting paid, either directly or through endorsement deals?
Well, I think the first one is what Tim Tebow pointed out, is the NCAA has always tried to say, hey, playing college football or basketball, we're a different brand than the NFL or the NBA. Why? Because college athletes are full-time students, and they are, quote, amateurs, as opposed to paid professionals. They don't get paid a salary by their member schools, and they can't exploit their name, image, likeness rights like professional athletes can do. That would be the first thing. The other thing is that The NCAA is going to say, look, there was a antitrust challenge to these rules, and the majority of a federal appellate court, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, basically said, well, the NCAA can prohibit student athletes from receiving economic compensation over and above the full cost of attendance. That was found not to be an NCAA violation. And the majority said, you know, the NCAA can, you know, can preclude or prohibit student athletes from getting economic compensation untethered to education. And this California law would permit that. You know, by its terms, as I understand the law, it would let student athletes enter into these endorsement deals. And the NCAA would say, wait a minute, this doesn't violate antitrust law for us to prohibit it. And it's okay for us to tell NCAA colleges or universities, hey, if student athletes do this, and you let them play, you can't participate in our championships. So there's a big potential problem there. The other one is whether this might be unconstitutional, this California law, because it's basically requiring California colleges and universities to do something that would violate their contractual obligations with the NCAA, and that's to only allow student athletes to participate who comply with these eligibility rules. There was a similar case where Nevada tried to impose additional requirements in NCAA rules enforcement proceedings that were over and above what NCAA rules required, and the Ninth Circuit struck that down on the theory that, well, state law cannot be used to directly regulate interstate commerce, which would be what the NCAA is engaged in as the national governing body for big-time college sports in the U.S.
Talking to Matt Mitten, professor of law, executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University Law School, looking at pay for college athletes, a rule in the work, a law in the works, I should say, in California would allow college athletes to get endorsement money. That would be contrary, as we hear, to NCAA rules. What happens? Who knows? Matt, one of the arguments here from people advocating for athlete pay is that somebody is making a lot of money because of their efforts. Universities, the NCAA, apparel makers who can put names on jerseys, things like that. So why shouldn't the athletes get a cut since it's their effort that makes that possible? What do you say to that that side of the argument?
Well, there's something to be said for that, because it's no question that the reason so much money comes in, it's because the fans want to watch the athletes themselves. And, you know, that's a different question as to whether they should get paid or get, you know, to reap some part of their, you know, multi-billion dollar economic benefits. But I don't think it's appropriate for states to be making this determination, you know, on a state-by-state basis. The NCAA has a working group that's looking at this matter and deciding, you know, maybe we can modify these rules somewhat. And if they do, I was one of the ones that was asked to give my opinion on it. And I said, you know what, we should tie it to the educational benefits. So, for example, if student athletes are going to get a cut of the revenues, it should be tied towards remaining academically eligible, getting their degrees. So there, it's, you know, the receipt of these benefits based on, you know, one's name, image, and likeness rights, which are a product of one's academic achievement and fame, it ought to be tied to educational achievement. And it ought to be, you know, ideally done where the NCAA makes the modification or Congress enacts a law and says, here's what we think is fair and here's what we're going to require. Again, it's just problematic if individual states try to do this.
We're talking about whether college athletes should be paid one way or another. A bill in California would allow them to make endorsement deals, though they wouldn't be able to under NCAA rules. Matt Mitten is with us, professor of law and executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University Law School. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think colleges and universities should pay their student athletes? Should athletes at the college level be allowed to be paid in endorsement form? Will paying athletes give some schools an unfair recruiting advantage? Do you have questions about the legality of all of this? You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking at a bill in the California State Legislature, the Fair Pay to Play Act, that would allow college athletes to make endorsement deals, contrary to the current rules under the NCAA. Matt Mitten is our guest, law professor and executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this particular idea? Would you like to see something similar happen here in Wisconsin? Do you think the NCAA should change their rules, or Congress should? Or do you think things are right the way they are, that college athletes shouldn't be compensated beyond possibly scholarships and a tuition? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Brad is with us in Milwaukee. Brad, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What do you think?
I think it's a double-edged sword. I think some of these people who come in there with a full ride for a $200,000 scholarship, no, you should not get paid. You've been paid. You've got a $200,000 scholarship. Now, for the people who play sports who are paying everything out of pocket for themselves, yes, by all means, pay them, because it's not like they can go out there and get a part-time job, be a full-time student as well. Now, I know that not all scholarships are just handed out for sports, and, you know, there are intellectual scholarships as far as, you know, hey, you did great, whatnot. And yes, they do get a free ride as well. But at the same time, if one student who's super smart but they come up with a cure for cancer, doesn't that become the intellectual property of the university, in which case they're not getting paid for the things that they have done? Why should someone get paid who's got a full ride scholarship at a $200,000 Ivy League school also get paid not exorbitant amounts of money, but a decent paycheck for a jersey with their name on it?
Brad, thanks a lot for the call. I'm not sure intellectual property might be a little outside of sports law, but I think that student could probably monetize that somehow. But what do you think, Matt, of what Brad had to say?
Well, you know, probably the ones whose publicity rights or name, image, likeness rights are likely to have the most fair market value are going to be football and basketball players who are getting, you know, the full ride, the full cost of attendance. The athletes in the other sports, they probably work just as hard, but their sports don't generate a lot of revenue, so they might only have partial scholarships. And they're not as likely to have, the economic value of their name, image, and likeness rights. So, for example, let's say someone who might be on the swim team or the lacrosse team, they're not as well known because those sports aren't televised as much. So even if they could exploit it, it's probably going to be worth, very little, at least in comparison to the starting quarterback. Let's say at University of Wisconsin-Madison, or the starting point guard at Marquette University. They're just going to be better known and have a higher value.
Thanks for calling in, Brad. We'll go now to Michael in Green Bay. Michael, hi.
Hi. So I'm still undecided whether I think it's the best idea to introduce paid athletes into college sports. But what I do think that if you're going to pay the athletes on any level, there needs to be a cap across the league, because then I think it offers a substantial advantage to teams in larger markets. And I think recruiting should be based on the quality of your program and your coaching staff and the culture of the program, rather than, hey, we can pay you more at this school than X school over here.
Michael, thanks for the call. And Matt, is that something the NCAA would be thinking about, how it could affect competition if pay comes into the game?
Yeah, I think no question they have to do that, because there are certainly competitive equity concerns because there are certain schools which have a larger alumni base, and you could tell, you know, their alumni, the business folks, they're going to want to say, okay, great, you know, we're going to offer, you know, a huge amount of money to you, or schools that are in larger areas like Los Angeles, you know, in Wisconsin, you know, Milwaukee, the bigger cities. And that's almost certainly something that the NCAA task force is looking at. Is this, you know, if we're going to modify the rules to allow student athletes to, you know, market their name, image, and likeness rights, what are we going to do to make sure it doesn't create competitive imbalance concerns among, again, the NCAA's got 1,100 member schools. And that's what distinguishes sports from other forms of entertainment is the competitive balance on the field, the uncertain outcome.
Thanks a lot for the call. We're talking to Matt Mitten from the Marquette University Law School, looking at the idea of compensating student athletes at the college level one way or another. A proposal in California, it's in the legislature, would allow them to receive endorsement money. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. We've got Tim with us in Viroqua. Tim, hello.
Hi. I guess my comments are relating to the potential inherent unfairness of this proposed idea in California, which is just ridiculous on the face of it, because, first of all, it's only talking about compensating those players who have some marketability. And what about all of the other student athletes at each school that, you know, that only the star quarterback or the star running back or the, the best basketball player on the team is banking his marketability when, you know, the entire soccer team and the entire swim team and the entire crew team and, you know, all the other student athletes at the school don't get anything.
Tim, thanks a lot for the call. And that harks back to something you were saying, Matt. The marquee players might end up making tons of money and everybody else little or nothing.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And particularly the ones in the, you know, student athletes in most sports do not get a full scholarship, or, you know, they don't have, you know, full cost of attendance scholarship. And so you have just equity concerns among, all right, you're going to have different student athletes at the same university being treated, you know, very differently because they will have a different marketability. So there's really a number of different facets to this. And the California law does not even consider that. It doesn't take into account competitive balance among schools, fairness among students, or even those on the same team. I think you run the potential of each individual athlete can, it's just whatever the market's going to pay for it. You know, how much attention is that going to take away from the focus on the game? It's like, well, am I more concerned about, hey, I got to have a great game so I maximize my individual endorsement value as opposed to doing what's in the best interest of the team? Now, they ought to be the same thing, but you know, there could be a whole host of really unintended consequences here, and it could adversely affect the quality of the games that fans are watching.
Time for one more caller. Dale is with us in Milwaukee. Dale, hello.
Hey, hello. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, what do you think, Dale?
You know, I think that these are all adults that we're talking about here. We're all talking about college adults. These are not, you know, underage students. These are people who have the ability to make a financial decision in most cases. And we keep talking about the, you know, the name and likenesses and whether or not that's being exploited or will be exploited by the player themselves or by the school, et cetera. But like we said, or you said earlier in the show, somebody is making money off the jerseys, the hats, et cetera. I mean, it just seems absolutely ridiculous that we wouldn't compensate the actual players of the game. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
Dale, thanks for the call. Matt, again, that's a commonly made argument on this issue.
Well, again, the question is, you know, how do you do it in a way that provides fairness among athletes and how do you maintain competitive balance? And that's why I think it's going to have to be a global nationwide solution. You can't have individual states like California or any others determining, okay, here's what we're going to allow to our in-state athlete. It's just not going to be workable over time. And the California law, even if enacted, is not going to go into effect for 3 years. I think almost certainly we're going to see some proposal from the NCAA, some sort of modification, or Congress gets involved. It's just not workable when you have a patchwork of different states doing this.
And briefly, Matt, I've seen the argument that this California law, with that three-year delay, might be intended as a kick in the pants for some kind of national solution. Do you think that sets a timer for the NCAA and or Congress to tackle the issue?
Oh, I think no doubt. I mean, the NCAA is already, its task force is going to say, here's what our recommendations are, and there's plenty of time for the NCAA legislative process to work to make any changes. If Congress doesn't like what the NCAA decides to do. So, yeah, I think it's really designed to be kind of a stimulus to get some movement on the issue.
Matt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, my pleasure.
That's Matt Mitten, professor of law and executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University's Law School. We talked to him about a bill in California that would let college athletes there sign endorsement deals that would bring it into conflict with the NCAA.